Welcome to the Norris Group's Real Estate Radio Show. Hosted by author, investor, hard money lender, and real estate educator, Bruce Norris. Equipping California real estate professionals for tomorrow's challenges.
On Friday, October 19th, the Norris Group proudly presents its fifth annual award-winning event, I Survived Real Estate. An incredible lineup of industry experts joins Bruce Norris to discuss perplexing industry trends, head-scratching legislation, and opportunities emerging for real estate professionals. Proceeds for the event benefit Make-A-Wish and St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital. This event would not be possible without the generous help of the following platinum partners: Foreclosure Radar and Sean O'Toole, the San Diego Creative Real Estate Investors Association, and President Bill Tan, Investors Workshops and President Sean Watkins and Angel Bronskiest, Invest Club for Women and Iris Veneration and Bobby Alexander, San Jose Real Estate Investors Association and Geraldine Berry, Fry Wiles, MVT Productions, and White House Catering. Learn more about the panel and how to attend at isurvivedrealestate.com.
Hi, thank you for joining us. My name is Bruce Norris, and today our special guest is Sarah Stevens. Sarah is the president of the Appraisal Institute, and the Appraisal Institute is a global membership association of professional real estate appraisers with nearly 23,000 members in nearly 60 countries throughout the world. Sarah's been an active in the Appraisal Institute's chapter, regional, and national levels for over 20 years. And she owns an appraisal business along with her husband, Richard, in Little Rock, Arkansas. Sarah, welcome to our show.
Thanks very much. I'm pleased to be here.
And we're excited to have you back as a panelist on I Survived Real Estate 2012. And it's proving to be a rather interesting year.
Well, it really is. And I'm certainly looking forward to being present for the panel discussion. It's a great event. You all do such a wonderful job.
Thank you. We have fun doing it, and it's always challenging trying to figure out how to get the maximum value out of the time together, because it's an unusual panel where we have the leaders of a lot of different industries kind of putting our heads together and seeing, okay, what's next and what can we do. I want to ask a question that actually comes in the breadth of your Appraisal Institute, 60 countries. I'm just curious, is the definition of market value consistent throughout?
Well, the definition of market value with the willing buyer, willing seller concept is certainly something that we find over and over again. I think that as the profession matures and as more and more members become part of the Appraisal Institute, we have the opportunity to be a part of the global economy, that we're going to see more and more instances where that acceptance is there.
Okay. What would I miss out if I were an appraiser but not a member of the Appraisal Institute?
Well, I think part of the wonderful opportunity that the Appraisal Institute offers our members is the opportunity to reach for a higher level of understanding, expertise, involvement in what a professional real property appraiser does. The Appraisal Institute certainly is proud of our designations, DMAI and the SRA designation, and those particular designations set one apart from the real estate appraiser who hasn't taken the time to take the education, to make the effort to move themselves into a position where literally they're known as the best of the best.
What about advocacy? I know there's been lots of issues in the last few years that have been taken up by Washington. How important is it for an appraiser to have a group like yourself active on their behalf?
Well, I think it's extremely important, and in today's environment for real estate appraisals and real estate professionals, having a group like the Appraisal Institute who steps out and speaks out for the profession is very, very important. I've had the opportunity to testify in front of Congress twice. The last time that I testified, one of the things that I brought to the attention of the hearing that I had the opportunity to speak before was the idea that, first of all, the real estate profession is very, very regulated, and probably we are the most regulated group of folks involved with the real estate community. And one of the things that's happening right now is that we have the threat coming forward to be even more regulated than we are with the announcement and the going forward of the Appraisal Foundation's Appraisal Practices Board. Every single solitary appraiser should understand that this particular threat is huge. It's going to force the appraiser, I think, to become little more than just someone who's going to have to go look something up in a book to write it down in an appraisal. So from the standpoint of being out there for every professional and representing the Appraisal Institute, but representing the profession also, we're trying and working very, very hard to make the profession as good as it can be.
I think, I studied to get an appraiser's license years ago, not to be an appraiser, but just to really understand the process more completely. And when I met an appraiser, to understand and see things through their eyes. And it is a profession. And I think it's being minimalized with automated valuation models and the such. I really disagree that you can push a button and figure out what something is worth.
Well, I agree with you completely. And, you know, one of the things about the automated valuation models is that it is absolutely dependent on data. But there's nothing like someone who has local expertise, geographic competency, and who has the ability to go and look at a piece of property and help not only the buyer and the seller, but the lender make an important decision. You know, as I've said so many times before, buying a home is probably the single most important financial decision that many people make. And certainly having someone who's professional, who understands the local market, who's had the opportunity to compare and contrast the property that they happen to be looking at with others on the market is extremely important, not only for that particular transaction, but for our financial health in this country.
Sarah, if you were an appraiser who went to sleep in 06 and woke up in 2012, would you recognize your industry?
Probably not. And I'd probably be pretty shocked. I would say that the constant here is that real estate appraisers are still, our role is still to provide an objective, unbiased opinion about the property value, and to provide that assistance to people who own, manage, and sell or invest in real estate. But the way that we have changed the way that we do business is unbelievable. And just, again, the regulation and the rules that we have to play with are very, very unbelievable.
With all the rule changes, what were the desired effects that the people that made the rules, they were hoping to change what, and did it work?
Well, I think that probably the biggest thing that the change tried to affect was a firewall, if you will, mm-hmm. between the lender and the appraiser. And I'm assuming that in a lot of cases that has worked. We now have a new group of folks called appraisal management companies, and those appraisal management companies, by and large, do a great deal of the lending assignments that are currently being offered to appraisers. But one of the downsides of this is that the local expertise, the geographic competency, the fact that an appraiser understands a local market better than someone who's coming in from 200 or 300 miles away seems to get the overlook. And I think that expertise and professionalism has been replaced with quick and cheap. And that's a sad, sad commentary on how our lending business has progressed.
I think it's appalling. I really do. I can give you a case. I wasn't thinking of bringing this, but this is an area where expertise was really important. We bought a home at a trustee sale to resell. and we fixed it up, and we had it for sale for something like $760,000. It sold for $740,000, and the appraisal came in at $1.2 million. Now, that's a little unusual. The $1.2 million comp did, in fact, exist. It was across on the other side of the golf course, and if you didn't know the area, you wouldn't understand that that comp wasn't really a comparable property because of location and size of the lot. One thing it did do, Sarah, was it sure locked in the sale, I can tell you that. But that was an example of somebody that called in where really an expert needed to be local. And I guess they were the winning bidder of the appraisal and came in and did, just looked at the comps that seemed to be reasonable without specific knowledge.
Well, and, you know, that's something that we continue to hear over and over. And in terms of the idea of the local expertise, verifying that sale with the buyer and the seller, talking about any unusual circumstances, actually going by and taking a look at that comparable, talking to the realtors who may have been involved, talking to people who had some knowledge of that sale, might have made the difference in there having been used or not. But again, a local appraiser would have probably known that and been able to use their local expertise to come to a better conclusion, more or less, for that particular appraisal.
The designations that you talk about, people, you know, go through the effort to become that expert, it sounds like the selection process ignores that almost completely.
Yes, it does in many cases. But our designated members certainly bring to the table a higher level of expertise and experience and education. And just by having that designation, they set themselves apart as someone who is eager to learn, to understand, to excel. And certainly if you had to pick the appraiser to perform an appraisal on a property that you owned, you'd want the best. And that's what a designated member of the Appraisal Institute brings to the process.
Is that something that I can request?
In most instances, no. But I think it does never hurt to ask.
How is the selection process done then? If I'm a buyer and here I am, I've got a property I've purchased. How is the appraiser selected? Is it a bidding process that he'll do it for less and quicker? I mean, I hate to think that.
Well, if it's through an AMC, which is the general vehicle right now,
right.
And everybody has their differences and different ways to work, but most of the time an appraiser is asked for a bid and a monetary bid, and in addition to that, a timing bid. And probably in most cases, the person who offers the smallest cash for the appraisal and the quickest turnaround time is chosen. It's probably not, that may not be true in all cases, but that seems to be the norm rather than the exception.
I didn't really realize that that was true, honestly. What has happened to the pay of appraisers then?
Well, a lot of appraisers have certainly found themselves making quite a bit less money than they did before. There are some who have worked with AMCs who are offering full fees. One of the issues that we continue to try to deal with is the customary and reasonable fee clause in Dodd-Frank.
Right.
And, you know, customary and reasonable certainly doesn't include the fee that the AMC garners for the work. The Appraisal Institute has asked that on the HUD closing form, the fee for an appraisal management company and the fee that the appraiser actually receives be separated so that consumers will understand that if they're paying X number of dollars for an appraiser, all of that's not going to the appraiser. Part of it goes to the AMC for the work that they do. You know, we've had a lot of people who just simply cannot feed their family and meet their obligations anymore in the real estate appraisal world. And one of the reasons is because the fees have been pushed down by this quick and cheap mindset in many cases. And folks have just had to find another way to make a living. And that's unfortunate.
Right. So the end result of all this effort really is not to end up with a better appraisal or better qualified appraisals. It's just ended up with cheaper and quicker ones.
In many cases, yes.
Wow. In years like 2003 to 2006, in California, we had prices escalating very quickly. How did an appraiser, let's say using a three-month-old comp, come to a correct evaluation when prices were going up 3% a month? So a three-month-old comp would literally have been wrong by about 10%. Was there a mechanism for them at that time to allow for adding to the value of that? And I guess my question really is that still possible today?
Well, those adjustments for market conditions, which were prevalent prior to our latest financial crisis, certainly were always extracted from the market. And in today's market, I think that we have heard that in a lot of cases there are markets that had begun to pick up, and that kind of market condition extraction is realistically something that can be done. But there's a lot of pushback for it just because of the wariness accompanying some of the things that happened before.
The pushback comes from, again, this is an independent appraiser coming to a number. And where does the pushback come from?
Pushback might be coming from the lenders in many instances. Sometimes appraisers are asked for, after the assignment is turned in, for multiple comps, for more information. A lot more scrutiny to justify what can or can't be done. And many times we understand that in some markets, if that market conditions adjustment is made, many times appraisers are told that it's not possible for the market to be appreciating. Again, having someone with local expertise who can actually set out the conditions for that adjustment, for that market condition adjustment, is extremely important. It goes right back to the competency and the professionalism of the local appraiser.
One of the concepts, and one of the reasons why I got a license as an appraiser, was to understand the concepts. And one of the concepts is the concept of substitution. Right now in California, there's less than 1 month's supply of inventory in a lot of areas of Riverside. And so we have a property, let's say, for sale for $400,000. And we have 25 offers in one day. And we sell it for asking price. And yet the comps really haven't caught up with the market. And that is really what's going on. And so the appraisal might come in $25,000 less. And this is exactly what's happening in Riverside right now, is that the sellers are saying, we really aren't going to worry about that. We're going to sell it at the price that we agreed on. And buyers are now coming in with the extra cash and closing it at the price. So what's happening is, you have an appraiser whose hands are tied, saying, I'm buying what you're saying, but I can't prove it. And then as soon as the comp shows up, then the proof exists.
Right. And that's one of the downsides of what we do. We're looking at point-in-time valuation. And you're exactly right. That's where we get caught. And that's where a lot of appraisers are having some real issues with that kind of methodology.
Does the methodology need to change? I mean, that's a bigger picture question. But, you know, one of the things that I was thinking of, and this is true during a downturn and during a boom, is that an appraisal is always going to look at past decisions as if that was a reasonable decision.
Well, and I think that begs the question, do we need the opportunity to take a look at some new techniques and some new ideas in terms of valuation? And that's exactly why the practices board and the extra regulation that particular layer could bring to us is so dangerous.
You know, what's interesting about the downturn, and now we'll talk about, you know, what was going on in 2008 in Riverside area, was that we would have a property, everything in the MLS, I'd say 80% of it was lender-owned, vacant, and kind of messed up. So the only comps were that comp. And then someone like me would come and fix one up, and get a lot of offers on it, but the comps literally could be at 40% short of my resale price because none of them had a kitchen. And there wasn't any evidence that the buyer was making a rational decision. That was a very tough environment for appraisers to come up with a right number.
Yes, it was.
I'm glad those days are gone.
Oh, I am too.
And by the way, you're in an area like Little Rock, Arkansas. Did that 2008, did you have the glut of foreclosures that we had in California? Was it much more mild?
I think it was a much milder environment here. We certainly did not see the enormous number that you all saw in California. Our economy is a little different, and we are still not seeing the big hit. Yes, you know, our markets have slowed, and our prices have adjusted with the market, but we just didn't see what you all saw in California.
Well, we didn't like it one bit, I don't think.
I'm sure you didn't.
We had about 2.5 minutes. I mentioned to you off air that there are some large buying companies coming into California and buying up everything in sight. And so now, for the first time, you have large companies buying properties. Very often, they're not even seeing them, to be quite honest with you, and writing a check for the properties, in some cases, maybe for 105% of value. There's a concept of undue stimulus in a marketplace. I mean, how does an appraiser look at what's going on, and is there an adjustment that's even possible to say, this is really an unusual circumstance, so be cautious?
Well, I think, first of all, that the appraiser has to know and understand what's going on. And that goes right back to what I've been talking about during most of this interview, and that's the professional, local person with the expertise and the understanding of that market to ferret out as much of the information as they can and to see how that plays into what's going on and what's happening. Having a buyer who's not even looking at the sales tells me that they're depending on someone to give them their information, and let's just hope that that person is someone who has the competency to understand how that whole entire transaction plays into the market, and certainly that the information that seller or that buyer has is credible.
In our last 45 seconds, you and I had talked also off air about the lot situation in Little Rock, where developers had developed lots and they were, you know, I guess they didn't pencil. So somebody bought them at $500, and you've had groups coming in buying them now for $10,000 and $15,000.
Right.
Same type of buyer. So if you're appraising a lot in Little Rock, you have three $15,000 comps and you've got everyone else having bought it for $500, what's the appraisal?
Well, that's when that appraiser gets on the phone and starts making those calls to try to verify those sales and understand the motivation.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think that's what people do not understand, is that you can push a button now and get an appraisal price, but you can't understand why that number is popping up. And I think you can lose a lot of money being a buyer relying on that. Sarah, we have run out of time. I've enjoyed this so much. This has been Sarah Stevenson, the president of the Appraisal Institute, and she'll be joining us at the I Survived Real Estate event 2012.
You've been listening to the Norris Group Real Estate Radio Show. For more information on the Norris Group, please visit www.thenorrisgroup.com.
The Norris Group would like to thank its gold sponsors for supporting I Survived Real Estate, Adrenaline Athletics, Caldwell Banker Pioneer Real Estate, Elite Auctions, FIBI for Home Investors by Investors, Inland Empire Investors Forum, Inland Valley Association of Realtors, Investor Experts Incorporated, Keller Williams of Corona, Keystone CPA, Las Brisas Escrow, Mike Cantu, Northern California Real Estate Investors Association, Northern San Diego Real Estate Investors Association, Personal Real Estate Magazine, Realty 411 Magazine, Rick and Leanne Rossiter, Southwest Riverside County Board of Realtors, Stars Photography, UDirect IRA, Wilson Investment Properties, Tony Alvarez, Westin South Coast Plaza. See isurvivedrealestate.com for more on the event and all of the I Survived Real Estate sponsors.